Church, say amen. Amen. Thankful for yet another opportunity to share with you a nugget of God's word. And want to continue to keep you encouraged to continue to study God's word. And if you're not studying it on your own, I highly encourage that you attend our Bible classes that we offer on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays. I highly encourage that because we have strong Bible teaching in this congregation. Since I've been here, I have been elated with the Bible teaching that takes place within this congregation, and I want to encourage all of you to attend Bible classes regularly so that we can continue to grow in the faith. This evening, I'm going to speak to you from the lesson title of Love the Brotherhood. If you will, join me at Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to take a look at a few various texts to ponder on and to look at and to think about concerning our brotherhood, our sisterhood, the fellowship that we have. Last week, I had the privilege to go out and serve with the Desert Church of Christ in Pahrump, Nevada, with our brothers and sisters there. It was motivating. It was encouraging. It was just a great time and an opportunity to share God's word with them as well. And I know that we have an opportunity to fellowship with them on Wednesday nights through the live stream that we do through the Bible classes that are offered here. But I want to ask you to continue to keep them in prayer with the work that is done there as well. But that was one form of fellowship that I was privileged to be able to have. And I know he didn't think I was going to bring this up, but today, my wife and I and our family, we had the great privilege to fellowship with Brother and Sister J.B. Myers and Brother Jason today, which was another great opportunity to fellowship one with another. Now, let me ask you something. When people don't get along, isn't it awkward when you get around each other? Think about it. If there's someone that you're not fond of or don't know, there's a sense of awkwardness. The desire is that Christ desires us to have unity, right? That we be in one accord, that we have one mind. And so tonight I just want to share with you just a few scriptures, such as Psalms 133, verse 1, that talks about, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for a brethren to dwell together," how? In unity. Amen? And so the idea is that we want to learn to adore and admire God for the fellowship that he has given with us, the fellowship that we have with Christ, therefore giving us the opportunity to love the brotherhood. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, what does it say, Brother James, if you have it?
A brother offended is harder to be won in a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle.
So it says a brother that is offended is harder to be won. Now, it says a brother. Now, rather, we want to look at a blood brother because we will look at an example in the book of Genesis. But rather, we look at a blood brother or a brother in our spiritual battle within the body of Christ. Sometimes when an offense has occurred, this is why forgiveness is so necessary. The forgiveness that Christ has given unto us through baptism, the forgiveness of our sins and transgressions. Remember, he teaches us in the book of Matthew, forgive, right? Or you won't be forgiven, paraphrased. And so when we have that avenue of forgiveness, then we have that avenue to allow the sins, the transgressions to go away. The Bible talks about love covering a multitude of sins. And we want to be about love because God is love, because Jesus is love. And when the Bible teaches us that the brother that is offended is harder to be won back, that means it's going to take some effort. It's going to take a little bit of work. But nevertheless, the brother should desire to have that unity one with another. Amen? In that same chapter, chapter 18, verse number 24, what does it say?
A man that hath friends must show himself friendly.
All right.
And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Now think about that. Now, who would this scripture be talking about? See, if we're not thinking about our Lord and Savior who sticks with us through thick and thin, high and lows, ins and outs, ups and downs, who are we thinking about? See, we might be thinking about our physical friend that has been with us through a great amount of our tumultuous times in our lives. But nevertheless, given the right circumstances or the right situation, that friend may abandon you. We always hear sometimes that if it's your life or my life, well, good luck to you. But Jesus says, I'll be there with you through the end. Amen? So there is a friend who sticketh closer than even a brother. All right? And so Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, which is one of my favorite verses, says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So there has to be a degree of unity there. There has to be some solidarity there. There has to be commonality there. And thank God, through Jesus Christ, we have the commonality of our faith, where there is one faith, but we have the faith in Christ Jesus. And we want to build off of that and express and show the love that Christ has shown unto us. Let's take a look at that Old Testament physical example. Join me at Genesis chapter 33. Genesis chapter 33. Now, if you study your Bible, you're very familiar with the account of Jacob and Esau. In chapter 27, verses 41 through 45, this is where you saw Jacob, who was advised by his mother, go and garment himself in a fashion to where he deceived their father Isaac, and he went and stole Esau's blessing. You all remember that? We'll go back and read that just to rehash and kind of show you exactly what happened at that point concerning the heart. Concerning Esau's heart. But in chapter 33, verse 1 through 4, it says, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, Leah and her children after, Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over them, all right? So when Jacob saw Esau and the family coming, it says he passed over all of them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his who? To his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Now look at what's going on. To understand the embrace that's taking place between these brothers, let's take a look at what happened. Go back to Genesis chapter 27. Flip back a few pages. Go back to Genesis 27. And brother James, if you have it, once you get there, pick up reading at verse number 41. And let's go down to verse 45. All right, hold on right there. It said Esau hated Jacob. Now, if we understand the concept of hate, if we understand the feeling that might be within him because of what happened. See, after the blessing was stolen, he went into his father. Esau went to his father and begged him and says, do you have another blessing? Please bless me. And it says, at that saying, his father's heart trembled because he had just given the blessing away to his younger brother. And so now, there was a whole lot that took place between chapter 27 and chapter 33. You know, that's when you have where Jacob had went off and, you know, fell in love with Rachel and was given Leah, and then Zilpah and Bilhah, and all of the children were born and so forth. And Laban had deceived Jacob. But prior to that, this is what happened. It says that Esau hated Jacob for what he had done. Go ahead.
Esau said in his heart.
Where did he say it?
In his heart.
So you mean to tell me that someone can hate another person from their heart, and it might look differently in action? See, where does God look? God looks at the heart, amen? That's why we must definitely make sure we check our hearts, because we can make it look good. We can shake hands. We can hug. But the heart, it might be filled with hate. It says he hated him in his heart. And what else? Mm-hmm.
Then will I slay my brother.
Now look at what's going on. He hated him to the point that he intended to slay him. All right, so now you see another example beyond Cain and Abel, where another brother wanted to slay his very own flesh and blood brother. All right, so it says, continue on, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doeth confront
All right, so he comforted himself, rather. So he was settled on this. He had peace in mind about what he wanted to do. His mind was made up in regard to what he wanted to do to his brother. But thank God for a mother's love, amen? Right? The mother went over to him before and said, well, hey, go dress yourself up and I'll make the venison for you and we'll give it to the father and he'll bless you. And now that she heard the news that the brother wanted to slay him, she went to warn him again and said, hey, the brother's comforted. He settled that he wants to take you out. And in verse number 40, the next few verses, 43 through 45.
Mm-hmm. Be thou to Laban, my brother, mm-hmm. to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away.
All right.
Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence.
All right. Now we can stop right there. So the idea is that time does do what time does best. God does what God does best, and he places forgiveness in our heart. Thank God. Now, when you go back to Genesis chapter 33, 1 through 4, now you see what happened. Go back there again. Go back to Genesis 3, 1 through 4. So Jacob left. This is where he met Rachel. This is where he met Leah. This is where Zilpah was given to him and Bilhah. And the children were born. Their children were born. And they went through the various issues that they went through. And then finally, they left Laban. And coming into chapter 33, that's where you see Jacob lifted up his eyes. And he saw Esau coming with all of the band of family. And they were all lined up. And it says he passed by all of them, bowed down 7 times. And it says when he got up, they embraced. Right? Chapter 33, verse number 9. What does it say in verse number 9 of chapter 33?
And Esau said, I have enough.
He says, I have enough, because he began to offer him all of these sacrifices and offer him all of these gifts, saying, I have this to give you, brother. I have this to give you. But he says, stop right there. I have enough,
my brother,
not my enemy. Remember, we just read a verse that said he had comfort in his heart to slay his brother. This is brotherhood. This is love shown in brotherhood. Do you all see that? I hope you do. Let's move on. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and look at another example. Another example. 1 Samuel chapter 18. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, you should be familiar with the relationship between David and Jonathan. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Why are we looking at that? Because when your souls are knit together, when you have that commonality, it makes you stronger. It is a great thing to be able to depend on your brothers and sisters in Christ that knows what you're going through and can be there to support you. Amen? It is a great thing to know that Christ knows exactly what you are going through and knows the way out. See, sometimes we can't see the end of the road. Sometimes we can't see the big picture. It's not designed for us to see the big picture because we walk by faith, not by sight. Nevertheless, we walk. And when we continue to walk, the Lord will guide our footsteps to where it is he desires for us to be. So in this example, you see where Jonathan loved David, even to the point that when you read the remainder and the full story of Jonathan and David and Saul, you know that Jonathan went unto David and warned him of Saul's intent to do what? To kill David. Remember, Saul had set up a feast and wanted David to come to the feast, and he had intended to kill him, to put hands on him. But Jonathan went and warned David out of the love that he had for his brother. And therefore, David didn't go to the feast. And so Saul made it look like he was concerned. Remember, I just showed you, we can make it look like it in one way, but in our hearts it's differently. Saul asked and said, where is David? He's missing from the table. His seat is empty. Remember, Jonathan and David had already come together on what was to take place to know whether or not Saul's heart was wicked towards him. And so we know that Saul went out, shot out the arrows to let David know, don't come, because my father seeks to do harm unto you. But as your brother, I'm going to warn you and protect you, because in the brotherhood of love, that's what we do one for another. And that's what we should do, because that's what Christ did. Remember, John 3:16 says what? For God so hated the world? No. It said he loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son for you and me, for everyone, that whosoever believed upon him, right? And of course, I'm paraphrasing to get you to see that the love that is shown will cover the multitude, all right? So join me at Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at a high recommendation due to the brotherhood and due to the love that was shown within. Philippians chapter 2. And once you get there, Brother James, if you could pick up reading at verse number 19, and let's look at what Paul was talking about.
But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state.
Where is Paul's trust? Where is Paul's trust? In the Lord. Do y'all see that? His trust is in the Lord. And he knows the Lord will take care of the things that need to be taken care of. He says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of comfort to know how you're doing. Because brotherly love is going to have a genuine compassion and concern one for another, whether you are in the presence or not in the presence. You see, it's interesting. I was sharing with Brother and Sister Myers earlier today, and I was asking them concerning the Dutton family, who obviously we lost our brother Ira Dutton, which I hadn't had the ability to meet. But I found out, because his daughter works for the police department, and I work for the police department, and we get department emails. So when I got the department email that talked about the service that's scheduled here at Bright Angel, I immediately wondered who Ms. Julie Dutton was, because of a previous background investigator that I had with the last name Dutton. But immediately, I had concern for the family, to wonder about the welfare of the family. So I began to ask Brother and Sister Myers, are these the same people, or is this the same young lady, Sister Dutton, that, or Ms. Dutton, that I might know from work? And I haven't found that out just yet. But when you have genuine concern, whether you know the person or not, when you hear about their state, it will bring you to a state of compassion, because that's what Jesus did. Think about it. How many times are we reading scripture where we see it says Jesus had compassion upon them, that Jesus suffered with them? And then the leaders will come to him and say, why are you hanging around those sinners? Why are you hanging around them? Why are you being around them? Because Jesus had compassion. And we're going to see how he set that example in just a moment. So he had concern about them, and he wanted to send Timothy to him because he trusted in the Lord. Go ahead and continue to read so we can get down to verse 23.
For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus'
All right, go ahead.
But ye know the proof of him.
You know the proof of him.
That
as a son with the Father, he has served with me. When you work together, when you co-labor in anything you do, you build a bond, and you are able to strengthen that bond. One of the things that I love about the entire book of Nehemiah, and I highly encourage you to read the book of Nehemiah, when it was set in Nehemiah's heart to go back and rebuild this wall, he went and toured the wall himself to check it out, to see how it was. Then he got the tools as he traveled before he got to the place. And when he got there, he toured that wall, and it was set in his heart to begin rebuilding this wall. And so as he began the work, as he began to challenge the leadership at that time regards to things that were going on, he continued the work. But you will see that there's a chapter in there that talks about all of the families that were hands-on, from the mothers to the fathers to the brothers, to the daughters, to all of them. It says, while one worked with a tool, in the other hand, they had a weapon, right, for protection. And it says that there were a few others, Sanballat and Tobiah, that they scoffed at the work that they were doing to rebuild that wall. And they continued to try to get Nehemiah to come away from that work. But Nehemiah says, why should I leave this good work? We have strengthened our hands for this good work. Why should I leave this work to come and entertain you when I know you mean harm to me? But what I wanted you to get out of that is that you had families, brothers and sisters, mothers, daughters, etc., working hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, side by side, building a bond as they worked in the presence of God. Do y'all see that? I hope you do. I hope you do. All right, so he was working with Paul. And so Paul had comfort to send him on his behalf to check on their well-being. And what does it say in verse number 22-23? You already read that?
23.
All right. And so Paul recommended Timothy because of their bond. They worked together in preaching the good news. But let's talk a little bit about Jesus. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Don't you desire a bond, a friendship with Jesus? Think about this. If we are co-laborers with him, and we are to benefit in the blessings that he continues to bestow upon us, don't we want to learn about him? One of the things that I encourage in the teen class is, let's look at Jesus. Let's learn about Jesus. Let's learn of Jesus. Let's listen to what he says. Let's look at what he does. Let's look at how he reacts. And then let's juxtapose it to our lifestyles and see if we are doing the same thing. When we see Jesus say that no man lighteth a candle and hide it under a bushel, but sets it upon a hill that all men may see his good works, are we about good works that all men may see? Or are we about hidden works, behind closed door works, in the dark works? The light is supposed to shine a light so that all may see. And we as disciples of Christ are to be a light. So let's look at Jesus and let's see what he did. And let's see what he said. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, what does it say?
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples.
Mm-hmm.
If ye have love one to another.
If you have love one to another, this is how others will know that you follow me. I had made an example to the teens this morning. I said, if any random person, well, I won't say any random, but someone who's familiar with who you are, walks up upon you in the midst of five or six other people, as they see the way you conduct yourself, as they have heard the way you have spoken, as they even look at your outer appearance, if they were to come up and say, there's a Christian in this group, would they be able to point at you and say that you're the one? Or would they say, there's a Christian in this group, it's not her, and it's definitely not him? And what if you're the one that they said is definitely not? How would you feel? Would you say, is it something that I said? Is it something that I did? What was it that made this person think that it's not me when I know that I'm a part of the body of Christ? Or should it go the other way around? When they say, because of the way you speak, because of the way you conduct yourself, I can tell there is something different about you. There is something like Christ that is about you. Look at this verse again. He says, by this they will know that you are my disciple, by the way you love one another. How though, Brother James? Continue on.
Simon Peter said unto him.
Now go back to verse number 34.
For a new commandment I give unto you, mm-hmm. that ye love one another as I have loved
you. If we don't take the time to learn how Christ loved us, then how can we in return turn and show somebody else that love? Unless my parents teach me how to wash dishes, when someone comes to visit me at my home, dishes are going to be stacking up. Until my parents teach me how to respect authority, to be, you know, mild and keep within myself, When I get out in public, I'm going to be disrespectful. Jesus says, as I have loved you, I want you to love one another. Go ahead, Brother James.
And ye also love one another.
35.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples.
If.
All
right, so the contingency is if, which means you have to set it in your heart to love the brotherhood. And I say brotherhood to encapsulate all, sisterhood, fellowship, Christianity, love the brotherhood. And you're going to see that you're going to see that encouragement from Peter a little in just a few moments. So we're being encouraged even by Jesus. He encouraged his disciples then, he is encouraging his disciples today to love one another as I have loved you. And as I expressed to the teens this morning, Jesus had such love that he gave all of himself. He gave all of himself. Nothing held back. Nothing reserved. He gave all of himself. Now, are you willing to give all of yourself to him? And if that be the case, then we stay in good standings with our God. Go to chapter 15, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse number 12 says, this is my commandment, Jesus says, that ye love one another. And once again, he repeats, as I have loved you. Then he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. If ye do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And in knowing that, and having the confidence that Jesus is calling them friends, imagine the love that is now re-strengthened, the bond that is strengthened between his disciples and their Savior, which is the same bond that we strive to build and strengthen today. In Romans 8, chapter 8, you don't have to go there, but chapter 8, 35 through 39, it encourages us and tells us about the various things and the various people that we definitely should not allow, but it tells us that none of this can separate us from the love of Christ. And if Christ says he loves you, you better believe he loves you. And so we ought to strive to make sure that we are loving him. But let's not deceive ourselves. Please go to 1 John chapter 4. We'll look at a few more texts and we'll come to a close on this lesson. Remember, I had mentioned to you earlier that it is very easy for us and mankind in general to make it look one way on the outside, but in the heart, something completely different. And we saw a couple of examples. But in 1 John chapter 4, Brother James, if you will, pick up reading at verse number 20 and verse number 21.
If a man say, I love God.
If a man says that I love God
and hates his brother,
he's a liar. Hold up right there. Now, I know we have tendency in generalness, not just us, but just in general, with certain terms. You know, if someone was to come to you and say, you a liar, you know, that term is so strong. You know, we want people to come to us and say, oh, you're not telling the truth, or you're fibbing. You're being deceptive. The Bible says, if a man says he loves God, and hates his brother. Now, have you had anyone come to you and tell you, I hate my brother. I can't stand him. I want to kill him. More than likely not. We say, how's your brother? Remember what Cain said? Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, well, your brother's blood calls to me from the ground. He says, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. But thank God through Christ, there is a remedy. There is always a remedy. But let's look at this. He says, if he says he loved God and hated his brother, he's a liar. Why, Brother James, continue on.
For he that loveth not his brother,
who he has seen, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Love the brotherhood, brothers and sisters. Love the brotherhood. So you can't say that you love God and hate your brother. When there is hate, how do you treat someone that you hate? Do you talk to them or do you go the other way? Do you avoid them or do you shake their hand? Do you call upon them when you're in need? And do you allow them to call upon you when you're in need? Do you go visit them and allow them to come visit you? Do you even speak? And I'm saying this in general just to understand that we don't want to deceive ourselves and say, I love God. But in the very presence of that brother or sister, there's a despising. So that's why it is needful in our hearts to follow what Christ has done, the example that he has set. We know, you think Jesus did not know that Judas was going to turn him over? But how did he treat Judas in the time being? He still took care of him, amen? He still watched over him. He still protected him until the point he decided to take his own life. He still showed the love of Christ unto the very man that was going to turn him over to be crucified. He still showed that love. So we don't want to be that type of person. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 35, Jesus challenges the Pharisees about talking good but being bad. He talks about how can one say good things but be so bad? The good treasures will be displayed. The good things that is within man will come out. And later on in that chapter, he begins to talk about the things that come out that affect a man's being. The things that comes out of his mouth and how it defiles him. Not so much the things that go in. All right? And so Jesus challenged the leaders in that fashion. But let's look at this. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 23. Romans chapter 2, please. Because this ties hand in hand with what we're talking about. When you get there, Brother James, go ahead and read 17 through 23.
Behold, thou art called a Jew.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And knoweth his will and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law.
All right, so it says you're a Jew. You know the law. You boast about it. You say you keep the law. Nobody can tell you anything. When someone comes to you to encourage you and then admonish you or rebuke or reprove, we say, I know what I'm doing. I got this. I know what the Bible says. Now watch what Jesus says. He says, you know all of this. You're excellent being instructed out of the law. Go ahead, 19.
And are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind.
Uh-huh.
A light of them which are in darkness.
All right, and so this is where we all must be careful, from members all the way to leaders. We have to understand, we want to stay humble in the eyesight of God, right? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. When do we come out of that state of humility and boast? We're to stay humble in the eyesight of the Lord. We're to stay contrite in the eyesight of the Lord. Because look at what happens here. Verse number 20.
An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes,
mm-hmm.
which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Thou therefore, which teacheth another.
Those that teach another.
Teachest thou not thyself.
Do you not teach yourself? Do you tell a man not to steal? Do you steal? Do y'all see this? Do you all see this? You can shake your heads at least, I hope. He says, you know the law. You know it all. You're teachers, you're preachers, you're leaders. Do you tell someone to steal and not steal? I mean, tell someone not to steal and you steal? Go ahead, brother. Do you tell them not to commit adultery and you commit adultery? I mean, you can take out adultery and put a blank there and put anything in there. Do you tell them not to do this and you do this? Think about this. Then he says, thou abhorrest idols. thou that abhorrest idols, do you commit sacrilege? What does verse 23 say, Brother James?
Thou that maketh thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonoreth thou.
Look at that. And this is why we must be careful. Now, why did I bring this up? It's because hypocrisies within the brotherhood needs to cease. Double standards need to go away. If we are living by Christ and his word and his law, and he teaches us and tells us how to treat one another and be towards one another, then we ought to be seeking to please our Father in heaven in all we say, think, and do. Not just what we say and we're thinking something else. Not just what we do and we're thinking something else. But what we say, think, and do. All right? Remember, the Bible says, be not hearers only, but doers also. All right? And so, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read verse number 1 and verse number 17, and we'll close. When time is spent strengthening in unity, in loving the brotherhood, in the bond of brotherhood, the love of Christ is displayed. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, it talks about that. It says, it talks about the maliciousness, the envyings, the hypocrisies. It says to stop that, to do away with that, right? And in verse number 17, Brother James, of 1 Peter chapter 2, what does Peter encourage?
Honor all
men. The Bible teaches us, it says, do good unto all men as much as the opportunity avail. Take advantage of the opportunity to do good unto all men, especially they of the household of faith. Peter encourages him. He says, honor all men. Go ahead.
Love the brotherhood.
Go ahead.
Fear God.
Fear God.
Honor the kings.
Honor. Loving the brotherhood is essential. When we love the brotherhood, when we fear God, when we honor the King, our Lord and Savior, we are doing what we are supposed to do. So here's my encouragement to you as I close. Jesus desires your fellowship through baptism. In order to have fellowship with him, we must be in him. We must hear his word, which means we must study. Let the word of God touch your hearts. Let the word of God prick your hearts. Let the word of God strengthen your hearts. As I share with the brothers and sisters in Pahrump, and I'm sharing and I'm telling you right now, I don't know how often, if at all, you might hear this. And I believe I might have heard Brother JB say this a time or two before. But me personally, I thank you for choosing to be a part of the Lord's body, a part of the Church of Christ, and choosing to serve him. I was raised in the Church of Christ, amongst the Church of Christ, but came to find out later on, one of my parents, through the passing of, you know, his mother at that time, was raised in the Baptist faith. So I could have very easily been raised in the Baptist faith, which is not of God, which is not of Christ. And so I want to encourage you to keep the fellowship, strengthen the bond, love the brotherhood, hear God's word, let it touch your heart. And if it touches your heart, share the gospel good news with others. Believe his word. If you believe his word, it will compel you to do something. It will compel you to be obedient to his word. His word will teach and tell you to repent. It will tell you and show you the error in your way, as Isaiah 58 verses 1 all the way through the whole chapter talks about. Shout out loud, shout like a trumpet, show the people their iniquity and their transgressions in order that they may turn and come back to me. That's what God says, and I'm paraphrasing. It will cause you to repent. And if you have that bond with the Jesus that we serve, you will boldly confess his name in front of friends and family and even strangers without hesitation, because there is no shame in his name. Amen? And after we confess his name, if you haven't been baptized, that is how you get into his body in order to be set up for salvation. So that is my encouragement. If you have any prayer requests, you can make that known as together we stand and see the Savior's invitation.